and let's pray together. Lord God, we simply ask that you will open your word to our minds and our hearts, and open our minds to understand and our hearts to receive your truth. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you may know that sense of relief when the Christmas cards are finished, you hope. And maybe the question goes through your mind, why do we do it? You say, well, it's Christmas, it's obvious, we send Christmas cards. But maybe it's something to do with the people concerned, people you care about, people who've helped you in the past, as well as friends and relatives. Maybe people you want to thank, people you want to assure of your love. And maybe part of the answer is when you start to receive Christmas cards. Thanks for those who sent them to us. Brightening up our lounge and hall. And you're glad to have news of them. When I was in my teens and more concerned with motorbikes and football than I am now, someone gave me a book called People Matter More Than Things. I haven't a clue what the book said, because the title said it all. Maybe they thought this was a message I needed to hear at the time. Yes, people matter. And I want us to look at this passage this morning. Find it in the church Bibles if you like. It might help you on page 1028. It's Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Looking at it through the people who are mentioned there in this passage. Jesus, Joseph and Mary, Simeon and Anna. What can we learn about these people? Verse 21, we're told that Mary and Joseph gave Jesus the name Jesus, which we know means Saviour. The name an angel from God had told Joseph to give him. And verses 22 to 25 tell us that Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem. They wanted to do what the law required. Clearly they were practicing Jews, doing what God said. I note from verse 22 that Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. That was a phrase used. To offer him to the Lord's service. Sometimes today, parents of a new child bring their child to the Lord, saying, Lord, we recognize you've given us this child, so we bring him or her to you with thanks, and we ask for your blessing, and we offer the child to you for your service, and we offer ourselves as parents. I also note that the law asks for a lamb to be brought, or doves or pigeons instead, if the parents couldn't afford a lamb. And there's no mention of a lamb here. So many think we should learn that Jesus came to parents who were not wealthy royalty living in a palace and not powerful politicians living in a government-provided mansion, but to parents who lived in Nazareth, a rural town, not a very important or significant place. And so we might well marvel that the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, was born in a stable to a humble couple with modest means. Lord, your gracious humility is an example and a lesson to all of us. And verse 28 tells us that Simeon took Jesus in his arms. And verse 38 says, Anna gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And the last verse in the part that Elaine read to us, verse 40 says, Jesus grew and became strong in Nazareth. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Sure, the grace of God was upon him. For so much depended on this baby growing up into a man. Through those years of childhood and youth, yes, Jesus was being prepared for his ministry of teaching and healing. And yes, his ministry of dying, for that was his Father's will. For sure, yes. You want to know about the people who feature in this passage? Jesus features strongly. But so do Joseph and Mary, a young couple. Verse 33 tells us that both Joseph and Mary marveled at what was said about Jesus, and Simeon blessed them, the start of verse 34. But then Simeon spoke not to Joseph, but to Mary. for Mary, but not Joseph, would see Jesus crucified, as indicated in the final sentence of verse 35, and a sword will pierce your soul too. I'll have more to say about that later. Is it possible for us to enter into what it was like for Joseph and Mary? For Mary, in time, perhaps to fear the arrest and killing of her son Jesus, but then to watch him being crucified. Yes, you'd think it would tear her to pieces, wouldn't you? Who figure in this passage? Oh yes, Joseph and Mary figure in this passage, in these events. But so does Simeon. And verse 25 says he was a righteous man and devout. Righteous, he lived rightly, and he treated people rightly. But he was also devout, that is, he treated God seriously and obediently. His faith and trust in God was real. And we're told Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That is, waiting for the Messiah to come. Maybe Simeon too is an example to us. Perhaps especially those times when we're inclined to get fed up waiting for God to act. And we wish God would get a move on and act according to our timetable. But we can't make him. Verse 26 says it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. So note that part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal things. He revealed things to Simeon. And he still has that work of revealing truth, of uncovering truth, to show it to people. Come back to that later too. Verse 28. What did Simeon do when he met Jesus and his parents? Verse 28 says, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God. What can we learn from what Simeon said? Verse 29 starts, Sovereign Lord. Simon recognized the sovereignty or the rule of God in matters of life and death. But in view of God's promise to Simeon that he would see the Messiah before he died, Simeon was then ready to die. Why? Verse 30 tells us, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Yes, literally, Simeon had seen the baby Jesus with his own eyes. But more than that, he understood that this was the one God had promised over centuries he would send to save the world. He understood that this Jesus would bring salvation. Verse 31, which you've prepared in the sight of all people, which you've prepared, Lord Sovereign God, throughout the Old Testament times, and particularly you were preparing when Mary was pregnant. The salvation brought by Jesus, yes, was foreseen by Simeon, but not only by him. It had been foreseen by many beforehand, anticipated by the prophets. And what is the nature of this salvation? Can't pretend. It is there in verse 30. Make no mistake. This Christmas story is about salvation, about being saved or being lost. What was the nature of this salvation? In particular, who was it for? Verse 32. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Note again, here is the picture. Light dispels darkness. It reveals, it uncovers. And what does it show? It shows that Jesus came for Jews and non-Jews. Jesus came for all sorts of people. Yes, what Simeon said there in those verses 29 to 32, steeped in Old Testament ideas and language. Look sometime, if you like, at Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 7, you'll see what I mean. This suggests he knew the Old Testament. He studied it, although many of his day neglected it. Who do we find in this story? Jesus, Joseph and Mary. Oh yes, there's no missing Simeon. He was a key participant in these events. But then there was Anna, a prophetess, whom we read about in verses 36 to 38. Anna, we're told, was very old, and she lost her husband after 7 years of marriage, but then devoted herself to worship, to fasting and prayer. Verse 37 says, night and day. How dedicated is that? And Anna knew the temple well. She'd been there so long, spent so much time there. So when Joseph and Mary and Jesus came, she was on the lookout. She was there, as she was every day, and she saw them. And verse 38 says she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. Is there something for you and I there? She pointed people to Jesus. Have we done that this year? Have we had opportunities we've missed? Do we long for new opportunities next year? You see, at the time these events happened, the faith of many people in Israel was at a low ebb. Many were not believing and practicing Jews, but some were. This man Simeon and this woman Anna were fine examples of people who were faithful believers. We may be called to be a bit like that these days, because there have been so many this Christmas time who have celebrated Christmas but couldn't tell you what the message really is about. We live in a world like that. So we've finished, have we? This is what the story is about. Jesus, Joseph and Mary, Simeon and Anna. We've completed the story. Well, no, not yet. We've mentioned the people involved, but I've hardly mentioned God. Yet he's all over this passage. Verse 28, Simeon praised God. Verse 40, Anna gave thanks to God. And you count the number of times the words the Lord comes in this passage. I make it 6 times. Verses 22, 23, 24, 26, 29 and 39. And the end of verse 25 says concerning Simeon that the Holy Spirit came upon him. That is, the Holy Spirit of God came upon him to bless his thinking and his actions and his speaking. Verse 26 says it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. Do you see why I say this passage has the Lord God all over it? The Holy Spirit is there mentioned. Verse 27 says Simeon was moved by the Spirit. Well, the Spirit of God does move people, especially his own people. Sometimes just to have you in the right place at the right time, or sometimes to prompt you to do or say something, and then do we respond and do we heed, or do we sometimes resist? And of course the experience of Simeon and Anna wouldn't have happened but for Jesus, the Son of God, being there. You want to understand this passage this morning? Then you can't begin to do so if you leave God out. What we should find awesome is the fact that God was acting decisively in the birth of Jesus to provide salvation. Simeon and Anna recognize that. Do you and I? It should move us to worship too. Should move us to worship too. Oh, and so there's one more piece of the jigsaw in this passage, is there? Because if we stop with Joseph and Mary, Simeon and Anna, and the Trinitarian God who is Father, Son and Holy Spirit, there still remains one significant gap. You and me. For we've already seen that this was for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. No one excluded. Jew or not Jew, still the message is for you. You see, this coming of Jesus was not an end in itself. He came to bless people. People matter. Everybody matters. You and I matter, especially to God. The whole purpose was to provide a way by which sinful human beings can establish the friendship with God for which they were created. This is extremely serious, and I'd like everyone here to listen very carefully. See what solemn and maybe terrifying words there are in this passage, in what Simeon spoke. Verse 34, if you've got your Bible, read it. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many. Oh yes, that is, some will continue to reject Jesus and fall further and further away from him by their own decision and will. They say they don't want him consistently. But others who may have been like that, God brings to a point where they fall, but at his feet in confession and faith, and they rise to new life. You know, when Jesus began his ministry, his teaching and healing ministry, there was division. As verse 35 says, the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Oh yes, the thoughts of many hearts that Jesus spoke to were revealed. In his hometown, they said things like this. I'm reading from Matthew 13. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where did this man get these things? And Matthew tells us they took offense at him. And you can read how he went to Nazareth. And we're told they drove Jesus out of town. And John in his gospel tells us that they said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So many heard Jesus but did not accept him. But some became followers of Jesus. So as 2008 draws to a close in a few days' time, we have had much in common with many fellow human beings, whether they follow a religion or not. But it is Jesus who divides. When Jesus is mentioned or preached, the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, says verse 35. That is, it becomes clear who is for and who is against him. So what's in our response this morning? If in the past we have come to Jesus, in a way fallen at his feet, in confession and repentance and faith, we can do so again this morning and renew our promises to serve him with all our energy for the rest of our life on earth. But what if you haven't done that up till now? What if in the past you've rejected Jesus? Well, God can change you into one who believes and follows him. If you've ridiculed Jesus before, God can change you into one who loves him. For Jesus came to bring light to Jews and non-Jews, and that includes you. Maybe if this Christmas time God has been helping you understand the reason why Jesus came to earth, then you, like Simeon and Anna, can begin to thank God for that. If you don't fall at his feet in worship and later suffer the consequences, you'll only have yourself to blame. You wouldn't be able to blame God, for through Jesus he offers you reconciliation now. Nothing stops you except yourself coming to him for that. And Hebrews asks that haunting question, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? It's my responsibility to tell you, reject Jesus and you're on your own. Accept him, as we've seen with the children, and you become a child of God, accepted into his family, never to be orphaned again. Which is it for you? Did you come here this morning out of habit? Did you come reluctantly? Or did you come thinking it was possible you would meet the living God and he would meet you? Did you come even expecting to meet God, to do business with God? Maybe there's someone here who now you want to admit, I've been keeping God at bay, distancing myself from him, but deep down I know I can't keep it up forever. Well, you don't have to. You matter. You matter to God more than all the things you've had for Christmas or not had for Christmas. People matter. A few moments of quiet, and then we'll pray and sing a closing hymn. Lord God, sometimes the record of the birth of Jesus becomes so familiar that we are not amazed enough at your great love for us and what it cost you to come to this sick, wicked world, to live that pure, perfect life, and to suffer crucifixion at the hands of wicked people you'd made, all out of love to reach us. Lord, where our response in faith and love is lacking, forgive us, we pray. But give us time to repent and make amends and show you our grateful love. But Lord, for any here this morning who previously have not known you as Saviour, though have heard versions of the Christmas story many times, grant, we pray, that this morning will be a time of new life, new light, new faith in Jesus. New life forevermore. because we ask it in his precious name. Amen.